the Premier League on OTB.
Here's Marcus Rashford, back to Shaw again, left footed shot, low, and he scores! Luke Shaw makes it 2-0 to Manchester United.
The very best expert analysis on your phone and for free. Download the OTB Sports app now.
You're very welcome back to Off the Ball. It is time for us now to look back on yesterday's All-Ireland Senior Football Final. Tyrone champions for the fourth time after they beat Mayo by 2 goals and 14 points to 15 points at Croke Park. Second half goals from Cathal McShane, who was only about a minute on the pitch when he palmed the ball into the net, and also from Darren McCurry, who was incredibly impressive, helping the Red Hands to pick up victory after Ryan O'Donoghue missed a penalty for Mayo midway through the second half. It's the fourth time that Tyrone have won the Sam Maguire, a man who's been involved in all four victories, three times as a player, one as captain, and now as joint manager, is Brian Duher.
Brian Duher, congratulations. Can you describe for me the feeling? I've seen a lot of Tyrone man lift Sam today.
It's unbelievable, you know, but probably a lot of relief behind it. You know, it's just a combination of a lot of hard work and a lot of urge over the last few months, but you know, it's the day for the players, and I'm just glad to get their just rewards.
The impact from the bench was massive today. How have you fostered that all year long?
Well, we have serious competition in the squad, you know, and on any given day, we could probably, you know, there's players on the bench equally as good, and that's what drives the players on the team at training and everybody else, you know. And you have to remember there's 12 of our boys on the back, they're not even named, they're equally as good again, you know, so you have to give them boys credit because they're not getting them, they didn't get a run out today, you know, but it's a team effort from everybody, and there's 38 there, and there's a backroom staff too. You know, it takes everybody to get us to where we got today.
How do yourself and Fergal Logan make it work in the background? When you took over this year, Mickey Hart didn't want to let the job go. You can probably see why. You can probably see the talent that was there. When you boys came in, what did you say from the start? Did you believe an All-Ireland title was there to be won this year?
I'm sure every team was out with that aspiration, but you know, that's far away. I mean, you know, we just took it one game at a time, and it was maybe a cliche, but you know, for us it was true because all we wanted was to win our first game, and we didn't even do that. I don't think it is in the league, you know. So it was an uphill battle from the start, you know, and the league was rocky. We got to the league semi final by score difference. We were punished heavily by Kerry, and hindsight was probably a great lesson for us. It made us look at ourselves, particularly as management. Never mind the players, but you know, but thanks to the championship, we just seemed to build a bit of momentum, and you know, might have been pretty sometimes, but we just managed to get over it the next day.
The year is over now. Can you tell me a little bit about what changed after that Kerry result? What was the sort of thinking that you were doing as a management team after that?
Well, we had to look at ourselves, you know, and we just had to look at ourselves. What were we doing wrong? What could we do better? You know, and the players had to look at themselves too, and they did. You know, we just looked at ourselves. Yeah, we did. Anyway, looked over what we did, and it's just took the learning out of it, you know, and things had to change, attitudes had to change, commitment, players up their work rate, players up their commitment, again, took it to another level, you know, and that was required, and that's what got us through up until today.
How different is it being on the sideline looking on an All-Ireland final and playing them one?
It's definitely different, you know, but that day's passed for me, you know. I'm lucky to get the chance here to manage Tyrone, you know, it's an exceptional honour, and you know, and I'm just glad to play my part and make sure the players get the reward today.
Was there any chance in that game, because the game was in the melting pot for quite a bit at the start of the second half, you hadn't got a score and Mayo were on top, they got a penalty, shaved the outside the post. Are you worried at any stage in that half?
You're definitely concerned, you know, the penalty was probably a big turning point for us, you know, and I thought it was dubious enough for me. I thought it was a free in the first place, should be out, but whatever, it was a penalty. And, you know, thankfully we got it, and it managed to give us the wee perk, or the wee, we managed to up our game a bit, and then we got our goal, you know, and things just got a bit of momentum, and we got going, and we got the men subs come in, and Cahill had a lot of value, the Arab Canavan, Ben McDonald was exceptional. And, you know, them boys come in and done really good. And Paul Donoghue and then Tierney McCann, you know, they've all come in and added value.
It's been an incredible year, and in the championship you've taken out Cavan, the Ulster champions, you've taken down Donegal, Monaghan to win an Ulster title, you've taken down Kerry and now Mayo. It's been an All-Ireland hard one. What's next for Tyrone? Because, like, you haven't had it all your way this year either, yet you obviously had the COVID issues that, like, it must have had an impact on the camp. Can you talk to us a bit about that?
COVID had a big impact on the camp, you know, no point saying otherwise, you know, and there's players out there today probably still recovered from it that haven't been able to get up to that level that we expect them to be, you know, because of COVID. And we made decisions at that time, you know, that's decision we took in good faith, and we thought we were doing the right thing by our players. Players didn't particularly, weren't too appreciative of the third. You know, thankfully it worked out our way this time, you know, but they were done in good faith, everything, and but it probably gelled at him in a way, because you know what, United them even tighter, if anything.
The likes of Conor McKenna, who's only back from Australia a year, Colin McShane isn't fully fit yet, Darragh Canavan's still only a kid. Like, what's up for Tyrone next? I'm asking, can you do back to back, because you haven't done it before?
Well, I think we'll enjoy the night first, and you know, and I think that's far away, you know, that's for another year's thinking.
Brian Dewar in conversation with Tommy Rooney after yesterday's game at Croke Park. Delighted to say that we're joined now by former Mayo forward Austin O'Malley and also by three-time All-Ireland winner with Tyrone and the current Antrim manager Enda McGinley. And if I can start with you, remarkable story, as Tommy was outlining there with Brian. A month ago, it looked like Tyrone might have to pull out of the championship because of COVID-19 cases. In the end, they get victories which hadn't been secured in the championship for more than a decade against Kerry and Mayo, and also overcoming all three of the Ulster championships on route to lifting the Sam Maguire in the first year for this new management after the Mickey Hart era. That's one hell of a story.
Yeah, absolutely. I was texting Fergal and Brian last night, and I was saying, like, it's obviously my first year of management myself this year with Antrim, and was happy with our work. We got promoted from Division 4, but there's nothing like being showing up first year of management to win the All-Ireland, as you say, win Ulster and beat a lot of big teams along the way. So, look, it's a massive, massive achievement. It's almost a state of shock here in Tyrone today. Like, it's sort of surreal. I've been out and about, and people can't quite believe that we've landed as All-Ireland champions, because the expectation just simply wasn't there. And maybe therein lays the key. The weight of expectation was off the players, particularly after the Killarney match. And in behind the scenes, the players went away and knuckled down, and that defeat, like, Kerry won't want to be in the position where they've massively helped their opponents. But both in the defeat in Killarney and in getting over Kerry in the semi-final, both of them are the absolute core of what is now making this new Tyrone team and this new era. State of shock up here. It's only starting to sink in, but from an achievement point of view, what Brian and Fergal and the rest of the management team, Joey and Colly Holmes, Peter Donnelly, like, it's just been absolutely immense.
From a coaching perspective, that is quite the turnaround, though, to go from the 6 goals conceded in Killarney, so with the league being so late this year at the start of the summer, just a few weeks to turn around, face into the Ulster Championship, just 1 goal conceded in the 5 games after that. That's a big coaching achievement and a big achievement by the players to become so miserly for the rest of the summer in front of their own goal.
It is, and the key thing is that players develop. The key thing to remember, and Fergal and Brian will be the first to say this, a player's development is a bit-by-bit process over many, many years, and all the lessons, many of them hard won, to build up what is a player. And it wasn't that Tyrone suddenly became a bad team in Killarney, and then suddenly everything was coached from scratch from then. They had learned lots of game styles before that, and under Mickey they had a hugely tight defensive structure. They were trying to change from that, and lots of teams, the game is in a state of flux, and lots of teams were caught in sort of a no man's land. And I think also Tyrone sort of had dipped. They had lost the work rate that they needed, and no better way to rediscover and to strip away any notions you have about yourselves and to get back to basics than getting hammered by a team that you would think that you're on that you should at least be competing with. So I think that really focused minds. They went back, like, and they looked more at their defensive thing. The slight change this year is that what became their biggest calling card was almost their one-to-one defend. Like, you've seen some amazing examples of it yesterday, like Paddy Hampshire a couple of times. Tommy was going flat out, like, with serious pace. We know the pace that he has to burn. Had Paddy Hampshire, and Hampshire got him turned back once or twice, and we've seen numerous instances of brilliant one-to-one tackling, or maybe one-to-two tackling, where stripping of possession, and that was what we've seen. We'd seen that right across Ulster Championship actually as well. So the defenders really stepping up, the team working harder again. But again, the work that was done previously, and in the team's conditioning, their ability to run, their ability to counter-attack. So those are loads of things that the team had been good at, and sometimes it is that change in voice. Like, they seem to kick a lot more. Definitely they were more direct in their approach. They went more toe-to-toe with Kerry than maybe what they would have done in the past. So just wee changes here and there, and a freshness about the team, meant that they were the final ingredients that then pushed the team to another level. And then, look, there's no point saying otherwise. You need your wee rub of luck here and there, you know, a wee bit in the semi-final, even a wee bit yesterday with the penalty miss and whatnot. But every championship win needs them things, if you know what I mean. But in terms of the coaching work, it was tweaking and bringing together in a slightly different way some ingredients that were there in the past, and then letting others out that maybe we hadn't been shown as much of late that we needed to, such as that real just passion and that Tyrone toe-to-toe battle that I think is the county's calling card. We've seen that maybe a lot more in the last couple of games than what we've had in a while, and I think it made a big difference.
Austin O'Malley, that brings us to a crucial moment in the match when O'Donoghue steps up for the penalty. An opportunity to put Mayo in front, maybe change the tide of the game a little bit. That ball coming back off the post gave Tyrone a bit of a lift, and not long after, Cathal McShane is fisting the ball into the net at the far end. It almost felt like a 6-point turnaround in a very quick period of time.
Yeah, no, it was. It was a massive game-changing moment. It sucked a lot of energy and life out of Mayo, and it gave great impetus to Tyrone. And you see the way they transitioned and they were back down the field, and that super ball from Myler from going from left to right across on top. So that really re-energized them, and you could tell, you know, at that juncture of the game, Mayo were coming strong, and it was a brilliant opportunity to nose ahead. And had that gone in, I believe that, you know, they would have really pushed the thing to the end. But, you know, you have to give full credit to their own. Just even as a coach myself looking in yesterday, I just thought the way in terms of they set up, they were about their detail, how composed they were, and how ruthlessly efficient they were with possession and that. And even like looking into the detail across the board, when you look at the statistics coming back at you, like the amount of turnover ball they won. I think they won about 21. They took 21 balls off Mayo inside the Tyrone 45 and transitioned up the field, and it yielded 1-6. So, I mean, you just have to say, you know, you have to tip your hat to them in terms of the way they went about their business and their game plan as well. I thought they played with brilliant width, and you know, those one-to-one key battles that we talked that were mentioned earlier there, they were key, and they won all of those, and they really put Mayo on the back foot, and they really, I suppose, for want of a better word, you know, just nullified a lot of our key players, like sort of Matty Rowan, Dermot O'Connor, Aidan O'Shea. These guys were put on the back foot, and, you know, we were left really with Lee Keegan, you know, as a colossus trying to bring the game to them there in the end. So you can only, you know, tip your hat to Tyrone in terms of what they've done.
Austin, am I being a little bit harsh in thinking that Henley should have either stayed on his line or came out for that first goal? Because just watching the game, even live on TV, it felt like that ball hung in the air for a long time. You want your goalkeeper to come out and either clean house or to stay back, and he kind of gets caught in no man's land.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting one. When you look back over it, initially when I seen it, I thought that he probably should have stayed in his line. I thought with the trajectory of the ball that it was hanging, and that with Cathal McShane's body position in terms of that he wasn't ever going to get, I thought, a massive purchase on it. So had he stayed in his line, I think he'd have got down because it bounced and in. So I definitely think in terms of, you know, if you were to coach it again and review it, you'd have said that's one probably where he should have stayed in his line without a doubt. Because I don't think Cathal was ever going to take that clean and turn, you know, certainly. And with what he got on it, I think had Robbie stayed on his line, he'd have got down to parry it away.
As it worked out, Enda, having both Canavan and McShane in reserve turned out to be a bit of a masterstroke in the end. They were able to come in and inject real quality and energy when they came off the bench yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. And sort of before the game, there was, I suppose, a lot of people were saying that the Tyrone bench was very, very strong. For me, the Mayo bench was also strong, but it was strong in a different way. They had plenty of good midfield sort of runners and athletes into that middle third, but Tyrone definitely had more finishers on the bench. The two that you named, obviously McShane and Canavan, both came on, both had a big say yesterday. I thought both done very well, and McShane is still only coming back. You can see a rustiness still there, but he is such a figure. He's such a magnet for the ball, and he's just got a knack of being in the right place at the right time and getting big touches. He is a big game player, and he made another huge impact yesterday. So certainly, once again, the scores off the bench, and we're seeing that more and more now in the modern game, that this need for finishers for managers to look at their team and say, okay, well, that's what we're starting with, but who is finishing? Who's going to get the clutch scores? Who's going to make the key things when these games start to open out a bit? And I think that worked well for Tyrone, as it has done right from the Donegal game, when the game was in the mixer and the bench sort of swung it and gave the team a confidence. That has been the way the whole way through. So again, from a Mayo point of view, they'll be disappointed that they didn't counteract that. But again, there's wee bits of luck here and there. Like when you're punching a goal like that by Cathal McShane, you need wee things to go for you, and for Tyrone it went. For me, one thing that probably, and all of this is in hindsight, because we didn't, everybody was saying 50-50, including myself, before yesterday, but maybe a key difference that started to show yesterday was that in terms of the experience level of the two teams, obviously Mayo have their storied amount of All-Ireland finals, but in terms of the two squads taking the pitch yesterday, Tyrone only had three newish players to the thing, whereas Mayo, I think, maybe had six or seven newish players to that level, as in players that are only in their maybe second or third year, whereas Tyrone only had sort of three, that Michael O'Neill and the two midfielders. And again, another trait of these big games is that we will go into indefinite or sort of constant detail about the big matchups and the key men, and so often you get somebody that wasn't quite on the radar turning out to have a big game. And for me yesterday, the unexpected feature was whenever I looked at both teams, defences matched up, forwards matched up, I thought beforehand Mayo had a more threatening midfield. You had Matty Ruan and either Conor Loftus or Dermot in there with them, and they got so much from that. And so for me, a big thing yesterday was for Tyrone just to try and negate the midfield. Yet Con Kilpatrick and Brian Kennedy, they went, not only did they negate those boys, they became an absolute forward attacking threat from the Tyrone point of view. And in that pairing alone, like, in those boys only 23-24, this is their first year as a sort of a new midfield partnership. Ben McDonald came on, done really, really well, final 20 minutes too, got a couple of brilliant tackles, and again solid on the ball. So from an unexpected area, Tyrone flipped it yesterday and had a huge positive, a huge win. And I think that was those lads' performance in the midfield, two unheralded footballers, two fellas that James Horn naturally wouldn't have looked at much because you didn't see that performance level in them. They turned up yesterday massively. And for me, that was the biggest difference, thinking of all the things we discussed beforehand, the two things, the performance of the midfield, but just generally, I think Tyrone looked a more experienced team yesterday. They were more composed on the ball, took more correct decisions, and looking at the two teams, they were the more experienced team on paper. So maybe those were the things we didn't place enough value on before the match.
Yeah, Austin, your old team got pretty much cleaned out in midfield throughout the game, and Noel Morgan's kickouts and the variety of the kickouts probably didn't help Mayo either. I thought when he went short, he was accurate. When he went longer, he gave those midfield and half forward players a really good chance to catch it too. It was a masterful kicking performance from the Tyrone goalkeeper.
Oh, he was majestic at times, and even just, you know, when going in at halftime, I remember turning to someone beside me, and I've just said, like, this guy is quarterback in Everton. He has fingerprints literally on everything Tyrone has done, from his kicking off the tee to what he scored, but also his ability to play that kind of plus one at the back. He was coming up with ball, and Tyrone, I thought, were really, really smart in terms of what they did. Like, they sat very wide and they created like a central open channel, and he punched through it, drew a defender, and he released the Tyrone man, and they took scores off the end of it. So I just think, like, in the totality of the game, he had fingerprints on everything. He was so assured, he was so composed, and I think it's probably an area going into the I certainly would have felt it was an area that I thought Mayo could have gone after in this All-Ireland, that they would have tried to push up and crack him, because I thought there was maybe frailties in his game from what we'd seen against Kerry. But I mean, he was a colossus, and he was a real rudder there. He just, you know, he kept the whole thing going for Tyrone, taking over, and just his level of composure and his ability to find people and his calmness on the ball. It was an exhibition in terms of over the 70 minutes.
I was surprised, Austin, they didn't push up on him a little bit more, particularly that pass that went through to Darren McCurry from Morgan, which, if any halfback had played that, they'd be very happy with the accuracy of pass that he played that went directly into the full forward line. I would have thought that would have been the wake-up call in the first half for Mayo to then go and challenge him a little bit, because there were times where he strolled out to 45 metres out and was allowed to just pick a pass.
Yeah, no, it was definitely, it's an oversight from Mayo's perspective in turn of giving him that time and that space and not pressing. And like, when you see the trajectory, he put a couple of bombs down on top of us, and none more so than that one that he put for Kilpatrick that plucked it and fed McKenna, that ended up with McCurry's goal in the end. Like, that was an absolute bomb. And he was threatening that all day. But I think there's other bits and pieces in this as well, in terms of, like, the picture that Tyrone presented Mayo in this game as well. Like there was nuances or differences to what they came with against Kerry in terms of, I think they utilised their kicking game an awful lot better as well, and I think that caught us in terms of that direct ball. And there was at times, whether it was a sort of a preordained move, you could see even Matty Donnelly getting inside, putting his hand up, looking for that long route one ball. So I think, you know, full credit to, when you think of Brian Duer and Fergal Logan, and I was kind of saying this during the week, which team has the ability to maybe bring something new to the game, and I think they done that, and they caught us with that. I don't know, I don't think we were expecting Tyrone to play as much long ball into their forward line. I think looking back at the Kerry game, I think they had less than five where they went long and transitioned through the boot, but they certainly caught us on that there, and they yielded huge dividend from it.
Yeah, because, and if you're able to mix it up like that, like Tyrone got turnovers, as mentioned, over 20 throughout the game. I think they got 11 in the second quarter of the match when they really put the squeeze on defensively. But if you can win the ball back and then be good with your distribution, that's going to create the chances for the forward line.
Absolutely, it's a win-win. There's numerous benefits that come of it. Obviously, if you've got a good kicking match, and part of that is that whenever a team wins the ball out the pitch, and it's something that forwards have almost got away with whenever teams were so into sort of their lateral passing and their multi-phase build-ups, that forwards didn't make that instinctive run thinking that the player was immediately going to look and immediately pin them. They weren't expecting it, and so a lot of the time you'd seen that go away from forward play. But now, as soon as a Tyrone forward is seeing a Tyrone turnover about to happen out in the middle, they're gone. The first thing the player is doing out the pitch is doing is getting a head up and looking long, and that's not revolutionary. Like that's fairly old school. Like, you're supposed to, if you get the hands on the ball, the first thing you should always be doing is looking up and seeing what is your best long ball option, and then if it's not on, scan it in and go shorter. But Tyrone absolutely were doing that. Again, Kerry, I think they started trying that at the start. And to be fair, Kerry's full back line dealt very well, although the quality probably wasn't as good as what they were able to put in yesterday. But yesterday it worked a treat. And then the benefit that you get that off, because there's such a threat from the long ball, opponents tend to want to, they're very cagey, they're sitting off you, they're trying to give a wee bit of protection to their full back line. And what does that only do but create a wee bit more space if you do happen to want to run it? So you get the benefits in terms of both types of game. Like, obviously we know Tyrone has a good running game, but being able to mix it up with the long ball both gives you the benefit that the long ball does, but also it enhances how good your short ball can, or your running game can be.
Austin, when it comes to some of Mayo's key players, Aidan O'Shea, for the second game in a row, really didn't get into it. That's another All-Ireland final where he's not been able to score. He was deployed in a role to kind of break ball yesterday, but as an observer, it felt like it never really got going for him in that All-Ireland final.
Yeah, no, it didn't. In terms of, even when you look back on it, and I was above my seating yesterday, you know, I had a pretty accurate sort of aerial view where he was, but he did at 14, he showed quite a bit. We didn't, again, as I said, get our head up and get ball to him when he was there enough, maybe. But certainly overall, the totality of the game, you would say that he probably underperformed in terms of, you know, not contributing on the scoreboard. Now, he got on ball and moved bits and pieces on, but when you're looking at a player of his stature, you probably are expecting a little bit more and to be more dominant and to really be setting the tone and the tempo for everybody else around you, particularly those young guys, to bring them on. So I still think in Mayo they're struggling in terms of where to actually position him and to get the best out of him, so that he can feed into to the overall picture of the team. But yeah, it's one that's, it's, there's a lot of head scratching, and there will be a lot of head scratching in the days to come around his performance and others in terms of why they didn't fire. But I suppose you have to credit Tyrone in terms of them getting their detail right and then pressing them and taking oxygen out of our big runners and our guys and their matchups. And I think, just going back to the point that Inda made at the start there, which I think was key in terms of Tyrone's midfield, the performance from Kilpatrick and Kennedy really gave them a platform for go forward as well. And it sucked the life out of that middle third for us. Mayo were far, far too ponderous on ball. Our build-up play was far too slow. We were putting too much ball through the hand, and we were just burning up energy that wasn't needed in terms of, if we picked our head up and got stuff in earlier and held with maybe two or three more forwards in there. So probably going away from this, I think maybe Mayo need to sit down and have a really hard look in terms of the way we're developing players, the way the style of the type of players that we're, you know, we're overloading ourselves with big athletic runners from the back, and that I think, you know, when you look at that team, we're void of a natural 11 ball player that can link play. We're probably void of a high quality or high class 14, you know, that's really great movement and that can finish, and also a sit and six that can probably tie and anchor our whole defence together. So there's a lot of thinking and re-engineering to do, I think, in terms of that Mayo squad going forward into the years coming.
And I was just thinking too, what a story for Conor McKenna. Not even 2 years back in the country now from the AFL, made it very clear when he came back from Australia that contending for All-Ireland titles was a huge part of why he wanted to go back and play for his county again. He scored some crucial goals along the way to get Tyrone to this All-Ireland title, and I guess this justifies him coming back from Australia now.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think we're still only starting to see what Connor's capable of. I think there's even more in him. I'm not convinced we've got him in his best position yet, and he'll benefit hugely from a longer season with more football, because obviously this season, again, there was so little football actually played, and I know he was struggling with an injury in the earliest part of the year, but absolutely huge impact. And again, in terms of experience and being able to get clutch scores and backing yourself, like, he's coming, you can imagine the professional world that he lived in and the pressure was that. So yesterday he was home from home, but what it meant to him was absolutely massive. And again, Callum McShane was on the plane to Australia and had the contract signed, and Tyrone managed to get him back as well, and those two players, we wouldn't be All-Ireland champions without them.
Helps to keep them as well, and if you've got a bit of silverware, because I know it's going to be very difficult to lift the Sam Maguire again, because Kerry are going to be back next year, Dublin are going to be back, I've no doubt Mayo are going to be in the mix-up for the All-Ireland final again. It's not going to be easy to go back-to-back, but the management can now turn around and say, hey lads, there's All-Ireland titles here potentially for you.
No, absolutely, and for any young player growing up, I think the lure of the AFL is there, particularly in your younger years. But it is easier for the bigger counties to hold on to the players. I think that's obvious. And whenever there's a really good setup in place, and an almost professional type environment, then fellas will feel that they can experience that type of sporting life, and that certainly helps to hold on to them.
Austin, Enda, thanks a million for joining us on Off the Ball this Sunday. Plenty more reaction from the All-Ireland final coming a little bit later in the programme. We're going to be speaking to some of the Tyrone players after their homecoming, which is taking place in Omagh around about 2:30. So we hope to chat to a couple of the players after 3:30. Also to come after 3:00, we're going to be talking to journalist Declan Bogue and to the former Mayo and Galway manager, winner of 2 All-Ireland titles with Galway, in John O'Mahony, to continue our look back on the All-Ireland final. We will also be taking a look at the papers, just the far side of the news headlines at 2 p.m. Johnny Ward and Timmy McCarthy will be alongside me to take a look at the best of the writing today. Paul Kimmage's piece on Michelle Smith, the first of a multi-part series, is very interesting indeed. And we'll be looking at the coverage of Cristiano Ronaldo's return to Manchester United and all the fallout from yesterday's All-Ireland final, including Joe Brawley, who has labelled Mayo time wasters after their 11th All-Ireland final defeat in a row. All that to come after the news at 2.